I'm not going to lie, I did struggle with it at first because, like you said, I've never been exposed to something like this. Yeah. So I was getting like quite a bit of shit. And it was stuff that like people are speculating from and making it up.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I'm reading it and I'm reading every tweet and I'm just thinking, that's not true. And yeah. that's not true.
Don't just talk it, bark it. Bark is on. Don't just talk it, bark it. Bark is
on. What's your background? Have you got anything? Are you just English?
No, I'm quarter Afro-American as well.
Are you?
Yeah, so.
Nice, mate.
So, like, my granddad was full American. Okay. Well, no, he was African, but he came over as American. Okay. Came over from Africa.
Really?
He was like two. And then just found his roots there.
Fair play. Well, man, you've been absolutely killing it this year. You know, I've been looking at the headlines, just going meat pies all the time as well, man.
I didn't think I was going to get any Super League ones then. They all just sort of like come at once.
Right, yeah, to be fair, man, you've been absolutely killing it. And something's going right there at the moment because whenever I look at what you're doing, it's just you on the highlight reel all the time. Not many times you see props on the highlight reels.
No. I think it's because I'm enjoying it. Do you know what I mean? I'm just enjoying it. So.
Well, how old are you now, Tyler?
23.
And considering that, you know, you've had a bit of a journey from starting at, was it Leeds Rhinos Academy?
Yeah, well, I started at Salford. I started at the scholarship at Salford. Mm. But then, you know, and I had that money crisis with my one and that. Yeah, yeah. They sort of bust the academy. So there were no left at Salford for me in a way. So I went back to college rugby and then went to Leeds. So.
Has it always been aspirations of you to play Super League and stuff?
Nah.
Has it not?
Nah. I was enjoying it, me. Like, I've always been brought up with, like, rugby's just a bit of fun. Mm. And I've always said that it was fun until you start getting paid, really. Mm. But no, it is now. I love what I do now. But honestly, it wasn't what I wanted to do back when I was younger at all.
What was it you wanted to do?
Oh, I wanted to be a teacher.
Wow.
Yeah, being a kid and thinking I want to be a teacher is a bit weird, but... no, I think because the impact my teachers had on me,
yeah,
it sort of like made me want to do that. Really? So, yeah.
What was it? You know, just they give you really good fundamentals or of life or just standards or.
I think because, like, as a kid, I was a tough kid to deal with.
Yeah.
Typical like state kid, yeah. And then they sort of like finding people who actually put the effort in with you is just it's big and like you look at it. You sort of like take it for granted, but still now I think it was massive.
Yeah, wow. And then after that, then obviously rolling into the rugby. It's pretty cool, though. I think a lot of good things happen when you're just having fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the pressure of, I want to make it, I've got to make it. Like, how many people do you know that like train the house down, but then when it comes to game day, they don't actually kick on like they should because it's as if they overthink the process instead of just enjoying the process. Yeah.
Well, it goes back to that saying as well, doesn't it? Like, train like Tarzan and play like James.
Play like James, yeah.
No, I think if you don't enjoy it, it's pointless doing it.
That's it, man, yeah. That's so true. It's and then, it, like, just looking at your career, like, what happened at Leeds Rhinos anyway? Because I've seen in the headlines a little bit when you were younger. Did you just not get offered there when after academy? Or?
No, so I was in the academy. I went there on like, sort of three-month loan. And I remember it perfectly because we was due to fly to Catalans and we didn't have any kit. Me and a couple of other boys went on loan. We didn't have any kit because we weren't full-time in the academy. And they were like, oh, no, we'll sign you on. You're full-time academy now. So I was getting like 300 quid a month. I was buzzing, but...
mad, isn't it?
Because I was still doing college as well. So it was sort of like, again, it was still a bit of fun.
Mm.
And I enjoyed it right through. And then it got to the final year and they sort of went... It was like, I think it was a Saturday morning and they just seen how tired I was because I was working in the nightclub at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So on a Saturday morning, we'd have to be there for 6:30, 7:30. But I wasn't finishing in the nightclub till 4:30, 5:30. So I was literally getting in my car, meeting at where the lads were, like the meeting point. And I'd just have like a quick hour and then get to training and my eyes would be burning and stuff. And they just thought, I think they just sort of said like, we'll put him in the first team environment. And then sort of like, I never thought that I'd made it anyway, do you know what I mean? But, like, normally you'd be dead happy about it. And I was really happy about it, but I just thought, no, this is the next step to kick on and start working even harder.
Yeah, wow. I tell you what, I reckon you learned some lessons as a bouncer.
I were a glass collector.
Oh, really?
I was only 17, 18, so I were a glass collector. But you've seen as much as bouncers did anyway. So, yeah, it made me think that that's not what I wanted to do.
Yeah, we've all been on a night out and we've seen the shit that they put up with. And...
Yeah.
That's crazy. That it's pretty impressive, though. You know, they Leeds obviously seeing, oh, we need to kind of change this guy's routine a bit, or try and get him out of the working environment you were at, because it was obviously they seen some value in you at the time. But going straight from work, have an hour's kip, and then going again,
it didn't used to be too bad in season, because I'd sort of like think, it's only team run, a 40-minute session. I'll get it done, get home, go to bed, and then probably work the Saturday night sometimes. So depending what time the game was on the Sunday, if it were a later game, then I could afford to work it. But if it were an early game, I'd have to ask to leave early just so I could get at least 6 hours sleeping.
Oh, wow, man. That's crazy. Well, it's obviously these things have all added up to where you are today, because, like I said at the start of this, you've been absolutely killing it. And what's the penny drop moment? Obviously, you're saying you're enjoying it, but is it something that you've taken on your own to go, I need to step up here or improve here?
I think because I was at Leeds, and that sort of, being at Leeds is a big club. Full time, so the training were great. And then to go from that to drop down to sort almost 1-2 sessions a week for an hour session, because when I was at Oldham at the time, we didn't have access to a gym or anything. We went, did field, and then went home. So I think because I've sort of like been at the bottom, and that's no disrespect to Oldham, but we lost every game.
Do
you know what I mean? So I was at the bottom, and then as soon as I had the opportunity to get back to Super League with Salford, I felt that I want to stay at, that this is the level I want to stay at. And I thought, it's only me that can do that. So I just thought, I'd train hard. During COVID, I lost 8 kilo during COVID. Wow. Just training hard, because I knew that's what I wanted. But then obviously I went to Oldham after COVID, and I still sort of thought, it's either make or break this. I can either spit my dummy out and just sack it off and do what most people do at that level and just go out every weekend and just sort of like live for the weekend. Or I can train again and then hopefully prove myself and go back to that level.
Wow. And then obviously the opposite in you came. So were they watching you at Oldham essentially, or was it like you must have been doing something right there?
Yeah, I don't know if they was watching me at Oldham, but I'd signed for Widnes anyway. So I'd signed a 2-year deal at Widnes. And obviously I had a Super League clause in that. And then they signed me from Widnes, but it was we'd done like an unopposed session against Salford. So we trained against them, and then a couple weeks later, I just got a phone call saying, "Do you fancy going for next year?" Which would have been this year.
So who was coach at Widnes then?
At the time, it was Simon Finnegan.
Yes.
But then obviously he lost his job because of poor performances and that. It was. I got a phone call saying, "Do you want to come to start next year at the time," which had been this year now. And I'm like, yeah, of course, I'd love to. Do you know what I mean? It could have been on any money, like pay as you play, anything, I'd have took it. But then an opportunity came to go midway through the season, and I think they did like a player swap. So I just went, I thought, oh, no, this is my chance now to get some good training in. I didn't expect to play, but I thought if I can train in that environment when it is actually time for me to be there, 100%. I'll have had a bit of an head start.
So true.
But then luckily, one of the players was Paula, and roles were like, I feel like the gods are telling me to put you in.
It's all working, yeah.
So he put me in, and then I'd stayed in ever since.
Wow. Well, man, like you said, like sometimes things align, and obviously something's gone right here. And you can't just say it's luck, because you've got to put the work in too. So it's a pretty impressive role there. But the way Salford play in particular, though, you play a lot of free flow, spread the ball a lot. Would you say that's impacted you in a different way, or would you say like you're just the typical hard running prop? Because I feel like you've got a bit more strings to your bow.
Yeah, no, I think the way Salford play has definitely changed how I. Well, to be fair, at Oldham and stuff, it was sort of like they weren't much structure, so it was just sort of like do what you can and sort of hope for the best. But yeah, being at Salford, the way that they play, it's very off the cuff foot. So I enjoy that way of playing, and it's not just me catching ball, running hard, and then waiting for the next play, because I could be called into the next play to do so. Like, I could have to pass it. Do you know what I mean? So now I think it's definitely given me more tools in sort of like in my inventory, so to speak. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. I think, and if like for people out there just listening, what would you say the difference is through Championship to Super League?
It's a lot faster. It's a lot faster. I think everything's just times by five. Do you know what I mean? Everything's a little bit more intense. And I think the pressure's more as well.
Yeah.
Being in that sort of, because you're in the limelight now. Mm. Do you know what I mean? As a super, you might not be playing on TV.
Yeah.
But you're still in the limelight.
But you've been in the limelight a lot lately. Yeah. we just want to delve on that a little bit. I think, you know, obviously the media plays a part in this, and you know, I don't think they hear the true part of the story.
No, no.
And I think part of the reason even you come in today, just to clarify that, because from one aspect, everyone's saying you want out. The other aspect is like, no, I don't want to leave. And we've got the board. So if you don't mind just sharing a bit of clarity on it.
It's not a case of me wanting out at all.
Yeah.
I've said it before, and I love Salford as a club, and they've really took a chance on me. But I was given an opportunity to explore other sort of ventures, other routes. And I got proper far, and I was contract negotiation, and it sort of like came away.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I was told I could get better,
and
then they pulled me back to Salford and said, nah, it don't matter now. It sort of like left me wanting that.
Yeah.
Wanting better.
Yeah, yeah.
But I always say it, like, I play for Salford and I'm not gonna not put the effort in for Salford.
Yeah.
Like I said, I love the club and I love the lads. It was just that little moment was a bit of a blip in.
Yeah.
I'd say it was more miscommunication rather than out.
Fair, man, like it happens, you know, speculation happens, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. There's two sides to this, right? In my head, when I listen to that, it's like, well, oh, you know, loyalty so big, this, that, and the other. But, like, you could have a serious injury next.
That's exactly what my sort of thought process was. Like, I'm getting offered something better now, but then next week I could, like, touch wood, I could have a career-ending injury.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And the way I see it, like, you've got to think about yourself sometimes. Mm. And the club that I'm at, whether it be Salford or whether it be somewhere else, they're not going to have my interest if I can't provide anything for them.
So true. So true, man.
And you see it often, like, a lot of players get injured and they're forgotten about by the club because the club's not bothered about the player, the club's bothered about the performances.
100%.
So
when do you start, and then you can go down the road then, of when do you start realising that not you're a piece of meat, but essentially you're part of the conveyor belt. You're part of the conveyor belt that's getting these results based. But, you know, if you had four or five bad performances, they're on you then, you know what I mean?
That's what I mean. Like, you could play bad and they could be looking at it thinking, fuck, like,
we could
get better than him. We could get rid of him and get someone better.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So it's a very cutthroat industry, and I say that quite loosely, but it is very cutthroat. You do something wrong, right, and that's one strike against your name.
Yeah.
You do something wrong again, that's another strike. And how many strikes do you get before you're out?
Yeah, that's true. Well, you got in-house. Yeah, you got warnings in that in-house, and then the stuff that can make the paper. And there's definitely the talk. People talk as well. Yeah?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you're doing well, and you're playing. But you got an English cap this year, so people are going to be talking. And you're headlining. Like I said, you're headlining as a prop on highlight reels. You know what I mean? So you're doing something right. But I'd love to see you go to the NRL one day. But that's my own opinion.
Yeah, I think that's anyone in this sort of. In Super League, anyone wants to play in the NRL because they're doing it better than what we're doing over here. Do you know what I mean? Like, everything's better over there.
Yeah.
They're looked after better. It's just, them over there are like footballers over here.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And that's how I'd always compare it, because people would say to me, well, why do you want to go to Australia? It's just not a country. But there's so much more to it. Do you know what I mean? And I think if we could take a leaf out of Australia's book and sort of apply that over here, nobody would want to go over there.
So you know what I mean? Man.
I feel like people would enjoy rugby more here.
Yeah.
If it was the same as over there, but obviously it's not. And I feel like we're way behind on that.
Yeah, well, I think that, like, just looking at it, I personally believe that a player is a product now. Like, your own product. Like, you should be able to promote yourself, not just as a player, but, like, if you want a brand, if you want to create, like, a social media type of platform. Like, you are an asset to a team. Like, look at NBA players when they used to rock up to the games in their own gears. You know, you could wear, obviously, your playing kit, but you're your own unique style as well.
Yeah.
And it'd be pretty cool to see that happen. But obviously, in the Super League, it needs a bit more bums on seats, more viewing and this and that. But the NRL, like you said, is just like football, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just miles ahead.
Yeah.
And I was speaking to one of the boys over there, and it's like, would you go over there? And it's like, you'd go over there because it's better from our perspective, but how much pressure are they on over there? Like, you think the media's bad here for us?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've been on the receiving end of it, and, like, it's a good thing I'm thick skinned because like it could get to somebody else a lot of that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like how fans are jumping on people. But if you times that by 10, 20 over in Australia, do you know what I mean? So
true that. It's
got its pros and cons out, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. How have you obviously you're saying you got thick skin, but like how have you dealt with it without being like kind of taught about it, like, you know, expect this, expect that? Because you're just from what I've seen, you're defending yourself in this situation with the contracts and the offers coming at you. Like you're just defending yourself and your worth.
Yeah, I think I'm not gonna lie, I did struggle with it at first because, like you said, I've never been exposed to something like this, so I was getting like quite a bit of shit, and it was stuff that like people are speculating from and making it up.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm reading it and I'm reading every tweet and I'm just thinking, well, that's not true. Yeah. And that's not true, and that's not true. And then you just sort of think, right, well, this is what they think. Like, at the end of the day, I'm still going to play well for myself, for my team, and if you want to support me, you support me. If you don't, you don't. But
yeah.
And without being disrespectful, but, like, I'm there to do a job for my team.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, the fans are very fickle. If we start doing bad, they're on our back.
Yeah,
if we start doing good, they love us.
Yeah.
So I just think, I just sort of, like, got on with it and just thought it's people's opinions, and I've stopped sort of like caring about what people sort of think about me.
As long
as I'm doing well and I know that I'm doing myself justice, and it don't really matter. But I think the hardest bit about this whole sort of period is like my family have had to see it.
Yeah, well, no one thinks about that, do they? No. When they, you know, you're someone's, you're a son to someone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You've got family or invested just in you and your well being. Like, you know, this all connects to other things, and
I get phone calls off my sister, and because me and my sister and mum were quite tight knit, and I get phone calls off my mum and my sister just checking in, and my mum, when they were in the thick of it, my mum were asking me every day, so are you all right?
Yeah.
Are you all right? Yeah, I'm fine, and I think that's because like in my family, between us three, my sister and my mum have like quite bad depression.
Okay.
And they automatically think if something's bothering them, then that's going to bother me and that's going to bring me down. Mm. But it's hard having to reassure them of that. Do you know what I mean? And obviously, I say, just don't look at it.
Yeah.
Don't look at it, because I'm not looking at it.
Yeah.
I've got to a point where I don't care. That's what they think. Mm. But just don't look at it, because that's going to make you upset, and then that'll make me upset because you're upset. Yeah. So I'm not upset about what people are saying. I'm upset about the impact it's having on my mum and my sister.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
that's powerful, that, man. And I'm glad you're saying this, because everyone's going to listen to that. You know what? Just give this person a break,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It kind of goes back down to them, though. Just if someone had a job opportunity at work, a normal job, like not rugby, but I mean, like, and they got, hey, you've got a promotion opportunity. Here's an extra, so X amount on top of your wage. You'd be, you know, you're going to start showing interest. Well, what is it? What's entail? What do I have to do? You know what I mean? So you're only human, but...
Well, definitely, because in between rugby, while I was... working at all, while I was going to Oldham site, I worked on a building site.
Okay.
And I loved it at first, because it was good crack me around lads, but then I'm just like, this is what I'm getting paid for, this shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, is there all else? Like, so now I thought, I can get paid more doing this. Mm. So I got a job in the children's home.
Cool.
And I thought, I'm getting paid a lot more. I'm helping kids.
Powerful.
Do you know what I mean? I'm taking them out and I'm giving them a good experience as well. But I do not believe that there's anybody out there that wouldn't change their job for a better paid job.
100%, man. I don't know. I do know, and it's true what you're saying, man. But are you, just out of your family, are you like the older sibling or younger sibling?
I'm the youngest sibling, so my sister's older than me, and then obviously there's my mum, but it's only ever been
you three.
Us three, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's that tight community there as well of caring factors and that. How have you, you know, how's the relationship now with the coach and the board, or not the board, the CEO or the chairman?
I've never had a bad relationship with Rolls. Mm. We've got a great relationship. Do you know what I mean?
That's good.
He's quite like, he's hard to describe in a way. He's he's straight to the point. Don't give a fuck. Straight to the point. Tell you how it is. And people like me need that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean, sometimes it fucking frustrates me, because I'm like, I can't be good enough. I'm just, know what I'm doing is right. But then you just sort of think, he wants me to get better.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But CEO wise, I've not spoken to the CEO.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it could have been handled in a better situation, in a better way.
Yeah.
But it won't.
It's interesting, because at the same time, there's obviously, I've just been reading on it that they've had some funding and the club's going through a bit of an issue at the moment. Well, they've raised money essentially. So it's a lot of things going on there. So when they're seeing the star players coming up, they're probably, I get it, but I get your side, and you got to look after yourself, essentially. Yeah. I'll get some shit for saying this, but you got to look out for number one, essentially. No, exactly, no one else is going
to... That's what I mean. It's difficult. It's a difficult situation to be in, and without saying too much, it's just... It's been handled poorly. It's been handled poorly, so to speak. So.
Yeah, yeah. What's the likelihood now? Where you living in Halifax?
I live in Halifax.
You ever thought about moving over these ways?
No, it's too expensive over here.
Go live with Tim Laffey over there.
He'll have a spare bedroom. Now, we've got a pretty good bus to travel with. So there's like five of us that travel over, and it takes up to an hour a day.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it's not too bad. And there's like people like Danny Addy and Amir Burr and stuff like that.
Amir, he's a good fella, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a good kid. But they're like the life of the car.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Everyone's a bit of a laugh. And then there's also Jack Ormeroyd and Ben Halliwell, but they're like the old men of the car. Do you know what I mean?
I like Amir. I've got to know him since he's been playing one or two games for Swinton. He thinks a different perspective to the normal person.
Definitely. He's honest in as well. Yeah. He'll say how he is as well. So
tough fella. I reckon he can throw him, you know, just like that short man syndrome. Hey, I'm the same.
I reckon he's one of them, though, me. I reckon he starts it and then sort of like edges it back.
He's listening to this. Oh man, I want to say as well, I want to apologize because obviously we were meant to do this podcast last week.
Yeah,
mate, you want to hear my story? So I had a car from the club and it shit itself. So 2 weeks later, I bought a car and I forgot to, I was driving to Liverpool. I got asked to do some form of an extra in a movie. Yeah. That was an experience too. But I was driving this in Liverpool, so it was about an hour away and I'm getting pulled over by the police on the way. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm about 5 minutes away from the job. And the police officer's like, in his Scouse accents, do you know why I pulled you over? And I was like, nah. He's like, you got no insurance on this car. And I'm like, what do you mean no insurance? And the penny dropped. I forgot to transfer the insurance. And in the UK, if you got no insurance, you're fucked, basically. Yeah. So he's like, listen, mate, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to try and figure out your insurance. And if you can get it done and then you can have the car and he'll let you go. So I'm frantic now. You're not going to get this done in 5 minutes.
Nah.
So I'm panicking. He's like, oh, mate, I'm going to have to take the car off you. And I was like, why? He goes, I said, just a couple more minutes, mate, a couple more minutes. And he's like, nah, sorry, mate, going to have to take it. So they towed the car away. And he's like, can you get a mate to do a solid for you? I'm like, a solid? What's that? And he's like, can you get a mate to come pick you up and take you home? I was like, mate, I'm about an hour away from you. There's no fucking solids happening here. And this cop was like, I tell you what, where you got to go? And I was like, I've got to go down the corner here. He goes, jump in the car and I'll drop you to the job. So I'm like, fuck, I'm in the back of the paddy wagon now. Three bags of clothes because I had my car stuff in there. And I'm like, don't drop me out the front, whatever you do. I'm just doing this first time, this casting thing. I don't want to get out of a police car. So we're parked up and we're about 100 meters away from the area. And he's like, all right, mate, you can get out now. And he goes, oh, that's right. It's locked indoors. I'm going to have to get out and open the door for you. So he's opened the door on me. I've walked out the car and the police officers opened the door and I've walked out, like I said. And that was like a Friday night. And this was the public holiday weekend. So he's like, mate, go there tomorrow. You get your car back. Go to this station in Liverpool. I'm like, fucking hell. So my mate, Joey Romero, he picked me up, my roomie. And that Friday night and then Saturday morning, the police officer, I get a train to Liverpool. And I get to the station he tells me to go to, and it's not even open. It's under, it's getting renovated. So I'm like, for fuck's sake. So I'm power walking through Liverpool. End of day, long story short, I couldn't get it that day. Sunday, the day off, they're not open. Monday was a public holiday. So I didn't get my car back till Tuesday, the day I was meant to get you. So, mate, it was a fucking...
Did you get any points for being uninsured as well?
Well, I had my Australian license, so people who are coppers on this might clarify this, but I don't think they can get points on the police, on the Aussie license. I need to transfer back to the UK license, but I definitely got a hefty fine. I got stung in the end. I was fucking furious, but hey ho, I should have just put insurance on it.
Yeah, you should have just done it straight away.
I should have known better, man. My roommates had this issue as well, but I should have just transferred the one from the old car.
Someone over here should have told you to do that.
I know,
that's
man.
Basic.
I think, well, look, someone told me, but I was like, yeah, I'll get to it. But, mate, it was madness. So that was a day I was meant to actually see you. Fucking hell, man. I was melting. Yeah, I was walking around Liverpool.
It's a good excuse, that. I'll let you off.
I was like this. I was texting Miles. I was like, this ain't going to happen today, brother.
And I was having breakfast with him and he went, it's just fucking cancelled. Why is it just fucking cancelled? I've paid 16 quid for a breakfast. I didn't want just to kill some time. And then I'm like, it's not coming.
Sorry, brother. But yeah, no, I was like, yeah. But man, it's like I said, What's been one of the things now going back to rugby? Like, what keeps you grounded as such? What do you like to do outside of rugby?
I don't know. Like, outside of rugby, I was studying a degree. So I've just finished my second year now. So that was something that kept me going. But I'm just trying to find stuff to do now. Yeah. Like, I don't mind coming over and doing stuff like this. Or I go over. I'll travel and meet the boys over here just to go for a coffee. Or, do you know what I mean? Because I've just got nothing to do and I hate being bored.
Yeah.
Like, I'm proper, I've got to be going all the time. So, it's just normal. Like, I still live near where I grew up as well.
That's cool.
So I know quite a few people around now, and I'm always getting beeped out when I'm walking dog and stuff. So yeah, it's just normal. It's just normal life now.
How do you deal with the attention you're getting now?
In Halifax, it's not that bad because I know everyone anyway, and it's just in case the occasional night out. Oh, you're killing it, aren't you? You're killing it. Yeah, I knew you were going to smash it. And I've not spoken to you in years. So how did you know I was going to smash it? Do you know what I mean? But no, other than that, like, nobody really talks about it.
That's cool.
Because it's like my mates as well. If they want to ask me something, they can ask it, and they don't need to keep going on about it.
Yeah.
And like, randomers don't really come up to, unless you play for Halifax. I'm like, oh, you played well. But like, I think I'd be more known if I lived around here.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I can imagine, like, Tim and Brody and Kenny and all that. They'll always be getting stopped and spot too, do you know what I mean? So it's not too bad back home.
That's good, man. That's good. It's good that you've got something outside of there, but you never know, man. You might, if you like coffee, you might open a coffee shop one day.
I thought about it, but then I just think, oh, there's loads of coffee shops. Like, what can I do to be different? Like, I wanted to buy a van and make it into a coffee van, like a little mobile coffee van. But I just thought, I'll wait and see what happens.
That's class, mate. There's Dan Fleming, I was talking about earlier. He's got the bakery in Halifax. He's got two shops. So he's doing something right.
He's doing it well there, to be fair. It's nice coffee as well, to be fair.
Don't tell him that. Well, I hate when he makes my coffee because he just goes mad at me if I don't like it, or I'm quite picky with my coffee with him. But how did the opportunity, you know, going back to England, how did that come across? Or did it just a phone call from Sean Wayne? Or
We knew around that time, that's when they were getting the phone calls, and like, I wasn't really thinking about it. Like, I booked an holiday with my missus and everything. Like, oh, I'm more looking forward to going on holiday. And then I got this phone call, like an unknown number, and it was just a WhatsApp picture. And Wayne wasn't on the WhatsApp picture, so I thought, what the fuck's ringing me? And I don't answer unknown numbers. So I thought, oh, fuck. And I thought, hang on a minute. So I thought, yeah, I'll answer it. And he said, oh, hi, Tyler, it's Wayne. Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm gonna put you in squad. I think it was 40 man.
Yeah.
He said, I'm gonna put you in now. We've got a meeting and such date. See you there. I'm like, all right, cheers. That was it. And then obviously I spoke to a couple of boys that I knew would got the phone call anyway, and so I like, travelled over with them. And then I just cancelled my holiday. I cancelled it. I didn't get any money back because it was too short, so I've just lost a load of money. Mrs. is fuming because we were going all day together. And then it got to, I think we played Catalans and we were supposed to be going into camp on the Monday. We played Catalans and I'd still not got a phone call. I thought, I'm not in this squad and I've just cancelled my holiday. I thought, fuck, like, Mrs. is going to beat me up or something, do you know what I mean? But no, then I got the phone call saying, right, you're in team. See you tomorrow.
Amazing.
They're just like dead straightforward like conversations, like, see you tomorrow.
Wow.
So then obviously I got a finger.
So you had the phone call. Carry on, sorry.
Yeah, so I had the phone call and I saw like rang my mum. Straight away. I'm like, oh no, I'm in. And my mum was like, my mum's not got the best clue about rugby. She just sort of like supports whatever I do. But she's like, oh no, I'm really made up for you. And like, I had a bit of a lump in my throat thinking, I'm like, this is a big thing, this. And like, this is everything I've worked for, this, it's all paying off. And then went into training, still felt a bit surreal. And like, it's just a different environment. Everything's dead professional. Everything's done for you. The only thing you have to do yourself is brush your own teeth and stuff. So, but yeah, it was a great experience. And if I don't get picked again, I'll always remember that.
Yeah.
Because of how good it was. And it was mint.
Obviously, that's a mad experience, and about going into the changing rooms and seeing the boys and that, was it just like a pinch yourself type of moment? Or
well, funny enough, the boys that were in, I'd played with them at England Knights. So it was just like being with the England Knights bar, obviously, Jack Wellsby, George Williams, Ben Curry. But yeah, so I'd sort of like already familiarised myself with a lot of them anyway.
Yeah.
And obviously Tom were there, and I lived near Tom in Halifax.
Yeah.
And I played with Tom at Siddle and Leeds. So yeah, it wasn't like too nerve-wracking, do you know what I mean? It was just sort of like being comfortable because I sort of knew everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was still walking in changing rooms, like seeing my shirt. It was a proper pinch me moment, definitely.
Wow, man. It's impressive. Who's in that camp there? Is it anyone who like impacted you the most?
I always roomed with, like, even on England Nights, I roomed with Danny Walker.
Okay.
And he's a good lad. He's a bit of a laugh as well, but yeah, he's a good lad. I don't think he influenced me in a way of like, oh, I want to aspire to be like him, but like him and all the other boys are like, nah, this is it. This is professional now. Do you know what I mean? This is England. So a lot of them were sort of like a big influence because of how professional they were.
That's mad. That. And what about Salford?
What?
Who's someone you kind of not look up to essentially, but kind of goes, I want to level up. You want to step up.
People like Carl Watkins.
Yeah.
He's the ultimate professional. Him.
Yeah.
And he's a proper nice guy as well. Mm. And to think of somebody who's achieved what he's achieved, and they're still dead grounded, and he is a perfect captain.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He leads by example, and he's there to speak to. Like when all this sort of shit was going on Twitter, and I went, yeah, "We support you, mate. Like
that's good.
We're with you." So that worked good because I was nervous about going into training.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just pulled him straight away, and he was just sort of like, "Now we understand, and we're with you on it." So. No, he's a great bloke, and he's somebody that I do look up to because he was there at Leeds.
I was about to say he was at Leeds, and yeah, he was a big man then, wasn't he?
I was in the academy when he was there, so he was like big man around town. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
in
a way.
So yeah, it's good to play with him now. Mm. Do you know what I mean? That's another pinch moment because it's like somebody who I've grown up looking at, even though he's not that much older than me. Somebody who I've grown up watching to then playing alongside. It's mad.
Yeah, it's mad. That is. And I bet, you know, he probably had that experience when he left Leeds. And did he go to Titans straight away?
Yeah, he went to Titans, didn't he?
And that was a big one for Leeds because he was like the man then.
Yeah.
Like, he's still the man now, but I mean like that era of Leeds players coming through.
Yeah, but that's another example of someone chasing a better opportunity. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And he went over there and he played the games and came back and came at Salford, and he's proven that he's still got it. Do you know what I mean? And he wouldn't mind me saying this, but there were a lot of talk about he's not the same. He's not the same Carl Watkins as he used to be, blah, blah, blah. He got injured. But I think he's better now.
Yeah.
He's a great player.
Well, he's playing, they put him in the second row a lot, aren't they? And he's got that mad footwork. So it's,
yeah.
I remember when we were younger, he wouldn't obviously remember, but I was in under 20s there, and they were first team at Leeds. And like we went opposed against them. And it was like Rob Burrow. I think it was Carl Ablett or Delaney, and there was Watkins, and we were like defending them, and like he absolutely puzzled me with his footwork, just stepped, and you like, you don't even know.
It don't look like he's going anywhere, but he just ends up finding like a little gap, and he still does that now.
Yeah, it's quality, though, isn't it?
Yeah, he's really good. He's like when we're doing like left view, right? So he's still had to defend against, so we know what he's gonna do.
Man, it's pretty amazing to have those people around you, and they keep you grounded as well. You know,
yeah, definitely.
You're still reasonably young in your career, and there's a lot of things going on, so you need those type of people. But who have you got this weekend?
We've got Castleford on Friday.
That's a good game.
Yeah, really good
home
game.
Home or away?
Away.
Away?
Away at Castleford, yeah. So. And they've just come off back of a convincing win against Leeds as well, aren't they? So, no, I'm looking forward to it. It's always a good atmosphere over there.
Yeah,
they've got
some
great fans as well, so.
How do you know, like you were talking about earlier, like the fans are more hyped, away fans are more hyped, and you get a lot more sledged, I'd say, in Super League.
Yeah.
How do you deal that as a prop? Because you're technically a bit of an enforcer as well, aren't you? So it's kind of like, you must cop a fair bit.
Oh, yeah. It's always, back line, I'm always like, oh, you fat bastard. 16, you fat fuck. I'm like, it sounds like, I'm just looking like that. Like. But I can't help but laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm always, like, if you look at it, I'm always like giggling as soon as I've got back. Especially when they're behind me. Like I said, in this industry, you don't listen.
Nah,
you know what I mean? It's just all background noise now. You're like, catch ball, you're running, you've left them.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
have you got any embarrassing stories of the boys or yourself, you know, in training or game day or just anyone who's a bit of a lad at training?
I'd say the lad of training is Danny Adder.
Is it?
Yeah, he's a belter. Like, he always like, I'm ADHD, mate, made it. I had my tablets for weeks behind him, and he's just proper buzzing about and just talking shit. Like, he says same joke. He goes, oh, I had our last morning last night. You know, she was like, why don't you wash up? Why don't you do dishes? Why don't you ever put your clothes? You know, just boring dad jokes like that, but he's just got constantly got him, yeah. But no, I wouldn't say there's any embarrassing stories. He's just a proper lad around training.
But I got a bit of embarrassing story. So, when we were in the World Cup, I played for Wales, and we got who's the first team we played? Tonga? No, Cook Islands, Tonga, then Papua New Guinea. But the end of the World Cup, like the last day after the game, after the PNG game, me and my roomie at the time was Josh Ralph. He's at Toulouse, and we got drug tested. Have you get drug tested much?
Yeah, I've been drug tested twice in the past 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Just big man, that's
I always go, I say, look at my rig. Does it look like I am on anything? Do you know what I mean?
Well, why are they picking me? I'm short as shit. You know, 9 stone soaking wet. So anyway, they go, oh yeah, Ollie Oles, Josh Rapp. And it was 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And they knocked the door. And I literally just peed before I went to go downstairs and do it. So Josh straight away just pissed and he got out of there, but I couldn't go.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there now, but I need to go do a shit. So I'm sitting there now and I'm just like pissing in, trying to piss, but only a little bit would go in. And then he'd go, oh, I'll have to wait, drink some water. So I drink some water. And I was like, listen, mate, I got to do number two. I got to take a shit. And he's like, that's all right, mate. I'll come in and watch. Like, what? So he goes, so he went in the disabled toilet and I'm just going now. And he's standing in the corner of the disabled toilet. He's like, oh, he smells. He goes, I tell you what, mate, I'll stand outside. You just finish yourself off. I was like, yeah, why the fuck would you come in? So that was one of my most embarrassing times.
To be fair, now you said that, the last time I got drug tested, we was at training. And I thought, like, it's like a bush. You don't get just drug tested. And then they all just keep coming.
Yeah.
So I, like you, I just thought, fuck this, I'm not getting drug tested. So I went for a shit. And then I went, I heard it, Tyler. Tyler, what? Like, you getting drug tested, mate? I said, you fucking joking. Like, I literally just snipped off and everything. He went, you haven't had a shit, have you? I said, yeah. He said, oh, right. So, I had to go, obviously, sort myself out, went into the doping room, getting escorted by some fucking private security, do you know what I mean? Went in there, filled out paperwork. I went, do you reckon you could force something out? I'm like, right, give it a go. And I think I did half of what I needed. So I just put to my fuck's sake. Anyway, so we had a team meeting as well. So I was there just tanning bottles of water. I must have done about 600-500 ml bottles of water, just tanning them. I was drinking BCAAs, coffee, and nothing were happening. And we're about an hour later, and I thought, and I just managed to squeeze a little bit more out, and it would thing in. It was just enough. And I was driving home, and my stomach was fucking killing. Do you know, because of how much water I had to drink and coffee and BCAAs and all that. And I just got home, and it just wouldn't stop. Like, I was just pissing for ages. But then you just think, maybe I should have just had one bottle and just waited. You know what I mean? But I'd go too far, me. So I'm drinking like 6 bottles of water, BCAAs, coffee, and everything. It was a nightmare. I was walking, driving home in the backseat, and I'm just proper hunched over because my stomach's in bits.
Oh, mate, good times. It's funny what you do, man, when you've got to do something urgently. Yeah, exactly. You just go right into the... Would you say you're rid of a 0-100 guy?
Well, like, all in or nothing. So, no matter what. That's why I don't go out. I don't really go out on nights out because I can't just have one. Mm. Like, I make a night of it, do you know what I mean? I'm not one to just, like, sip a beer. Dump it down it. I'll down it. I'm downing it. I'm like, another, down it. And I'm like, double vodka, lemonade, down it. Double vodka coke, down it. And then everyone's just passing me drinks. I'm like, I hate whiskey. Someone's giving me whiskey. I'm down in that.
Next thing,
I'm fucking... Can't remember how I've got home. Do you know what I mean? But
it's a big one then.
Yeah.
Luckily, the boys' socials are a bit more enclosed, so no one gets to see that side of you. Is, you know, obviously you've got a really good attacking spine over there as well at Salford. You've got Brody, Sneed, and... Really, they're killing it at the moment, aren't they, boys?
I think that we've probably got one of the best spines in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like me and Mike Sneed, we got quite close this year, and we always take piss out of each other. He calls me fat, I call him old, and you know what I mean. But he's probably gotten better.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean, I think he's killing it this year.
Mm.
And then playing off the back of Brody, who was Man of Steel last year.
Yeah.
And Ryan Brealey, who's found some great form, and I think that's a very hard spine to compete with.
Who would you say is the guy who's like the general on the field, and then the guy who plays off it? Is it Sneed?
Yeah, I'd say Sneed were in charge. He sort of like plays more. Crofty's more of like a running threat.
Yeah, yeah.
But then Kez just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've seen the try against Magic Weekend, where Atkin passed it to Crofter, and Crofter was hit a middle ball, and Kez just comes out of nowhere and he's gone.
Yeah.
Or like when we played against Hull FC, and that from a scrum, Sneedy just booted it, and Kez just on his bike and flies past.
I see.
It's just because the way that we always say to him, like, fucking hell, lads, put ball down, but all the chat is rugby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But obviously it's showing on field.
Just proper nerds at it, like.
Yeah, proper nerds as well.
Do you watch a lot of rugby?
I'm on Emmy, like, I'd rather just be doing something.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'd rather play it than watch it.
Yeah.
But if I've got something else, I'd rather just go walk dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I'd rather just go play darts or go play snooker or pool or something else other than sit and watch.
Fair enough. Do you watch Origin?
I did this time. But again, it's one of them where I'm just getting bored. I'll just start playing on my phone. And then I've just seen a try and I'm watching the try highlight again on Twitter or something like that. But
yeah.
I don't mind watching it, but preferably I'd rather be doing something.
Doing something else.
Like when I was younger, like they would say, come on, watch a rugby game and see how it's done. Like, no, I'm off out with my mates. We'll have to go play Tiggers or we'll have to go play fucking Scarpa. You know, games like that. I'd rather be out with my mates and riding bikes with no tyres on and stuff like that. Proper estate stuff.
I was going to say, what's Tiggers? I don't know what that is.
Like tag, whatever.
Oh, tag, yeah.
We'd do it a bit more aggressively, so we had this thing called Beat the Letter. So you'd be in two teams and you'd make a word up and say if me and you were in a team with like three of us, like five letter word. So Tyler's five letters. Tyler's the word. Yeah. So T-Y-L-E-R. Right, run. And then these would chase you and you'd get proper battered and like, give us your letter. And you're like, no. And like, give us your letter. And you're getting kicked and stamped on and everything. And it's like, right, you can have my letter. It's T. And then you're out, and then it ends up being like five people beating up one person just for this last letter.
Just to get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hell, it seems like a proper school of hard knocks game.
Oh, it was brutal, but it was a bit of fun. I could take a punch, mate, so I was just like, no, I'm not giving you no. I could give a punch as well, so I would more or less get in there.
Have you had any beef on the field yet?
Nah, you can't have beef on the field now. It's like Ben Reynolds has just got a couple of games for a sort of like controversial punts on. Feet on it, so
yeah,
but as soon as you clench your fist, that's it, you're gone, and it's not worth it, not at all, because it don't lead to anything. You throw one, it's done,
yeah, that's true,
and then you're looking at a couple of weeks on sidelines, so
yeah, that is true, and it's a hefty fine now, too,
yeah, exactly. And I have paid a hefty fine,
yeah, that's fair. And I was just thinking, obviously, if you don't really watch Origin, it's fair enough, but it would be pretty cool if they did like a Yorkshire Lancashire.
Oh, no, definitely. I played for Yorkshire in the academy. Against obviously Lancashire, and then we played against Dorsey Schoolboys as well. But I think they should bring that back, definitely. There's great talent in the Yorkshire and Lancashire teams that probably haven't been called up for England.
Yeah.
But it'd still be a good game, that. 100% I think that would be, they should bring that back.
And there'd be so much rivalry there as well. Like, you know, like do you see in the State of Origin, it gets a bit, you know, the adrenaline is pumping. Yeah. Imagine the fans of Yorkshire.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We're playing, when we play for Salford, say we've won. Like, for example, we play against Huddersfield, we've won. Anyway, you fucking Yorkshire bastards. And I'm just there, like,
hang on.
We're from Yorkshire as well, so. But no, I do think it'd be a good rival. Whether it'd be as big as State of Origin, I don't know. But
if they started doing it, you know, they'd get it packed out, surely.
Yeah, I think they would pack it out, because it's like an international game, isn't it? Fans who aren't even fans of a team are just coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I'd like to see it happen. I just think that brings more bums on seats and grows Super League as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something that they should do, like I said, to sort of like entice people in, because we need to do more.
Yeah. Bit off rugby right now. What... If you could talk about your upbringing, how could you explain it? Besides doing Tigger.
No. So, for me, it was quite like a pretty normal childhood in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's only ever been me, my mum, my sister. And the reason for that is because my mum was in like a domestic abuse relationship, and that was with my dad, not my sister's dad. My sister got different dads.
Okay.
And that's all, like, that's why my mum and my sister are there these days. But my mum's like, honestly, she's best thing ever. And I know she won't be say that, but genuinely, she's the best person ever for me. She made it as normal as possible, like life was as normal as possible. Like, she'd make sure we had everything, me and my sister, we had everything, and she sort of like got herself in debt and stuff just so we could be like everyone else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even though it didn't really matter, like, I was happy with some clothes from Primark, because I was only going to get them dirty anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I used to, like, because we was on an estate, I remember one time my mum was telling me, One of my friends had gone and got her and said, Tyler's up on someone's roof. And she's like, what the fuck's he on someone's roof for? So she's coming out and she's, what are you on that roof for? And she's like, I'm getting my shoe down. She's like, who the fuck has thrown your shoe up there? And I'm like, I did. So I've thrown a shoe up to go climb up someone's house to go get my shoe to then come back down. And then I would do it. We're always doing stuff like found a stolen bike, like a bike that had just been with no tires on it. So just the metal rims. We're just riding around on there. And I used to always go in my house like bus lips, black eyes, just from like riding over ramps and stuff bikes with no tires, or fucking running into walls and stuff like that. I was sort of like a crazy kid. But in terms of upbringing, like my mum provided best that she could for us.
It's beautiful, that is. And I think everyone's mum to them is like the
massive.
It plays a massive factor in you as well. Like you know, you might be a part of your head you'd like to be able to support mum or give back to mum at some stage. I'm not saying that's essentially a plan, but you know, when people think about, you know, if you went back to contracts and this, that, and the other, sometimes people think about the bigger picture, not just themselves.
Well, that's what I mean. I was thinking about the bigger picture. Because my plan has always been, I want to buy my mum's houses off her. She owns two houses. I want to buy them off her. Mm. Let her live in them.
Nice.
Not have notes to pay. And then sort of like start my own, like buy other houses.
Amazing.
I'd love to be able to give back to my mum. Mm. But in a way, there's nothing I can give her because there's nothing she needs.
Yeah, yeah.
In a way. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's done everything for us. She's out of debt now. And she's just living a best life now. And amazing. I think, if I could, and I know this is fucking a bit figure to say, I'd give her back the time she missed out on. Mm. You know what I mean? I'd love to give her back the time that she missed out on. You know, like, try to do the best for me and my sister. But obviously, she's just enjoying her life now, and I couldn't be happier for her.
Those experiences with you and giving to you might have been amazing as well, you know, just supporting you and your sister as well. Like, that's pretty powerful as well.
Yeah, definitely. And me and my sister, we're very close, but we fall out all the time.
Siblings.
But, yeah, proper sibling rivalry. We're fighting and stuff when we're younger, like, but we both appreciate what my mum does, and sometimes we think we don't show it enough. We'd love to show it more, but I feel like my mum knows that anyway, so...
That's good, man. Yeah, they know that. It's amazing that. It's funny we say about siblings as well. I always used to have fights and that with my brothers all the time. But could she scrap?
She could scrap when I was younger and smaller, but as I was getting bigger and taller, she couldn't handle it. So that's when she'd just start abusing me with my words. So she used to, because I were a proper chubby kid, and like I've got like quite, like everyone said, I've got proper chinky eyes, like Chinese eyes. And she was calling, have you ever watched Little Britain?
Yeah.
She was calling me Ting Tong.
Oh,
yeah. Little Britain. She was calling me Ting Tong. Oh, I remember one time, she probably made me cry once, and I don't know why. We're a proper emotional kid. But I came downstairs in just my boxes. I'm going to get some food from the fridge or something like that. And I'm only about eight, but again, Little Britain, David,
the only game in the village.
It's because I looked like that because I was just fat with these like small boxes on.
Oh, mate.
She was a proper giver. But if I ever said up to her about being fat or I'd call her that, she had a big nose and not like a long nose. Flat nose. She starts crying and then I get in trouble. Do you know what I mean?
So double standards.
Yeah, I just don't listen to her anymore.
That's funny though, that is, mate.
No, she's like, honestly, there were words that she called me that I've never even heard of before. People she'd call me, and I'm Googling it going, you fucking bitch. So, yeah.
Nice, brother. No, well, look, man, it's been amazing talking to you, and it's been good to get clarity on the situation you're in at the moment, obviously in a good place with family, rugby, you're going extremely well. Last thing I'd like to ask, like for people coming through the ranks and the systems, I think everyone's always trying to look for like the perfect recipe to become that player. What would you say it is, and what is it for you, what you do, which makes you tick?
I think the best thing for me that made me better was a setback. Mm. It was a setback that made me think, rugby's not everything, so let's start enjoying it. And then we'll try and make the most out of it. And the setback from being let go from Leeds and obviously being told I wasn't good enough and blah, blah, blah. We're going to join Army. Then I went to Oldham. I thought, I'll just fucking enjoy it. I'll just enjoy it. I'm with a good set of lads. I'll just enjoy it. And that's what made me, I reckon that's what made me into the player I am now.
That setback, doubt on yourself and kind of have to back yourself a bit.
Like you, I say it like, you won't care about my opinion. I won't care about your opinion. Yeah. You do what you think's going to make you happy and what you think's right. Mm. And you'll come off better than somebody who cares about what other people think. Because it's sort of like, caring about people's opinion, it's like a bit of a collar on you.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just holding you back.
Yeah.
Don't care.
That's so true, that is, man. That is so true, because, yeah, it'll hold you back, and then it stops you taking chances in life.
Yeah, exactly, because you're always going to question whether you're good enough or not. And I did for a bit. I questioned whether I was good enough. And, like, it goes back to my mum. My mum told me I was good enough.
Yeah.
And I just had to start believing it. And I might have a bad game, and I'm my own worst critic.
Yeah.
I'm so harsh on myself. But then I think, right, it's done.
Yeah.
Let's just get better.
So, you know, obviously you talked as well how you lost that 8 kilos in COVID. Was that just down to hard work training all the time? Or?
Yeah, so at the time, Leeds give us, like, a bumper set of plates and barbell. And I was running, I hate road running, me, like, proper hater. And I was running, like, 5K every day. Mm. I just thought, oh, we'll just see how we go. And then Halifax is dead hilly.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're, like, running up and down hills. And I thought, no, I'll just keep doing it. And then I thought, oh, I'll run a 10K. I didn't run any further than 10K, but I thought, no, because I was getting into it and I was thinking, I'm actually looking all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought, no, I'll just keep doing this, because when I go back, I want them to think I've not just done what everyone else has done and fucking got pissed every
night. Tossed it off, yeah.
I've put the work in. And then, like, when we went back to Leeds for a bit, I was, like, more or less up front of most of the fitness groups as well.
Wow.
So I knew I could do it, and I proved to myself and to them that I put the work in, but obviously it just didn't work out.
Yeah, yeah. Just to clarify, I don't know if you said it earlier, so when that happened with Leeds, when COVID hit then, was that when they just said, like, that's enough there?
So it was all on furlough, and then it got to a point where, I don't know if it was like the government or something, but they said we could go back to training. I went back to training for about 3 weeks, and then I just got pulled in office and they said, look, we're going to let you go.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We'll put you back on furlough. Go do your own thing, like, you're not going to play for us. So just go do your own thing. Yeah. And it was sort of like a, So it's tough to take, because I'm only about 19, 20 at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough to take stuff like that and hear stuff like that.
Of course.
Especially
when you've been putting the work in.
Yeah, exactly. But you just sort of think, that was like a flip the switch moment of, am I going to let their opinion define me now?
Nice.
Or am I going to do something about it and sort of say, fuck you, like, prove them wrong. And now I feel like I've proved them wrong.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you play against Leeds now, do you always have like a bit of extra kick in you?
I do and I don't. I do like to prove against Leeds that they missed out, but it's not Leeds as a club. I love Leeds as a club. Leeds is the team that I supported.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So it's nothing against them. And like seeing fans saying, oh, he'll never go back to Leeds. He fucking hates Leeds. It's like, I don't.
I just
didn't like the situation I was in there. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
But it's got the fire burning in the stomach, though, right?
Yeah. It, so. Like in a way, I'm dead grateful for it happening.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm grateful for that setback, because it's pushed me on and sort of like encouraged me to do better.
Definitely, man. Is it anyone growing up that you've kind of looked up to or kind of give you that? Like we all had a certain player. Mine was Johnny Wilkinson in Union, though. I used to love Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, loved him.
Like I said, when I was younger, even watching rugby, I wasn't asked.
Yeah,
I want to ask about watching rugby, like, but I think as I got older and appreciated it, so like, I always remember Jamie Peacock.
Yeah,
and have you heard the bus story? Have you get off?
I think I've heard a bit about it. What was it? Were they after a game, or was it a piss up?
I can't remember. I don't even know if it was Jamie Peacock actually. Who had the bus story? This is how bad I am. They were driving to training and thought, have you get off the bus?
Pretty sure it was him, or was it?
I'm pretty sure it was him, definitely.
And basically, what, he told them to get off the bus, was it?
No, he said, I either get off the bus now and sort of like take the opportunity, or stay on the bus and go home.
I think it was him.
I think it was him, wasn't it? But yeah. I sound a bit dumb now, but I do remember that story.
Like,
it is sort of like, get off the bus, take the chance.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll stay on the bus and go home and regret it.
So true. It's I think it's a lot of people like that, though, right? The opportunities are there, but they kind of hold themselves back from taking these opportunities, you know?
And a lot of that's come from like past experiences, though.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I don't know. Like, now, any opportunity I get, I'm just going to take it with both hands. Mm. Whether it be in rugby, whether it be in personal life. As long as I know it's better in me.
Yeah, yeah.
And my family.
Yeah.
Then I'd be stupid not to grab it with both hands.
maybe after the rugby career, become a teacher, mate, and just start.
That's what I mean.
Take it over.
I'll be a teacher, and I might just start going and speaking, go doing public talks and stuff like that.
Definitely, mate. Yeah.
Nah, talk too much shit for that.
Well, man, it's been a pleasure having you on. It really means a lot.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it.
What's one thing you're grateful for, brother?
I'm grateful for my family, and I say that all the time. I used to have one of them journals that said, "What are you grateful for?" And I'm grateful for my family because they've stuck by me.
Love that.
And do you know what I mean? Like, people are come and go, but your family's there forever.
Yeah, that is true, man. It's true. Well, thank you so much for coming on, man. Means a lot that you come here the second time. And I'm excited to see where your career goes, man. No, all the best of Salford in England.
Cheers, man. Don't just talk it, bark it. Bark is on. Don't just talk it, bark it. Bark is on.